Welcome into a Monday edition of The Huddle. I am Josh Phillips. No, I am not Greg McKinney. The big man is taking a little breather. He's gone to the bullpen for a couple of days, so we'll be sitting in for him today and tomorrow. I'm flat excited to be here. It seems like it's been forever, but that I've just left. But for the next 2 days, we'll be back, and I couldn't be more excited to be back at ESPN Upstate hosting The Huddle, co-hosting The Huddle with my main man, Lonzo, over there sporting his Kansas City Chiefs.
Got to fly the colors, man.
You and me both. You and I both. Lonzo's in his Chiefs uniform. Of course, Patrick Mahomes broke a 50-year Chiefs record yesterday by throwing his 31st touchdown pass, breaking Lenny Dawson's franchise record, and we've still got 7 weeks to go. But we're going to talk about the NFL. We got a jam-packed show ready for you. We're going to talk college football, of course. We'll talk Clemson. We'll talk South Carolina. We're going to talk some high school football playoffs. We're going to talk some NBA, some college basketball. Clemson and South Carolina have tipped off their college basketball seasons. We'll discuss that as well as much, much more. So settle in with us. Today on The Huddle, if you want to get in with us, text us at the Health Dare text line. Be sure to put in ESPN and text 71307. Hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Wow, you can even catch us on Alexa. See, I've got Alexa at the house. I've got to be careful what I say because I'll be yelling at the dog about something or one of my girls and Alexa pick up on it. And then the next thing you know, something's going out there that shouldn't happen.
Well, but anyway. You know Alexa is always listening.
Always listening.
As soon as you plug one up, they're always listening.
They're always listening. But you can even catch us on Alexa by saying, Alexa, play ESPN Upstate, not Goo Goo. Did you see that? The old Italian lady, and she's trying to, her son got her a, whatever the heck, what the heck, it's Google's form of Alexa. Right? And this little old Italian lady is, and she's calling it goo goo, goo goo. And it's freaking her out. It's hysterical. You got to YouTube it. But we've got a jam-packed show for you today. Again, I am Josh Phillips sitting in for G-Mac Lonzo on the board, as well adding his commentary. We are going to have a fun-filled show today, or you can call us on the call-in line. 844-477-3776. Did I remember that right?
You did.
Wow. It never goes away from you. Never goes away from you. Over the weekend, Clemson gets a big win up in Boston College in Chestnut Hill, 27-7 over the Boston College Eagles. Trevor Lawrence looked okay. I mean, I wouldn't say he looked spectacular. He made some spectacular throws. He was 29 of 40, 295 yards, one touchdown, and a pick. The rushing game was very balanced from a distribution standpoint. Travis Etienne had 11 carries for 78 yards, as well as the receiving core. Hunter Renfrow, 8 receptions for 80 yards. Amari Rodgers, 5 receptions for 73 yards, T. Higgins, 4 receptions for 63 yards. So the Tigers were able to spread the football around. Boston College gave them a real legitimate test and actually, I think, helped Trevor Lawrence in his development as a young quarterback by facing the different schemes that they faced. But I got to tell you, with Alabama winning not so impressively, I mean, I saw things. Everybody believes, and I believe as well, that it's a foregone conclusion that Alabama and Clemson are on a collision course to face each other for the national title. I believe that's going to happen. But both fan bases can't be excited about playing the other. Alabama gave up 4 sacks to Mississippi State's defensive line. So if you're a Crimson Tide fan, you can't feel good about facing Clemson's front. Likewise, you know, there were some windows that Trevor Lawrence forced the ball into that you've got to feel like if he makes that same mistake to Alabama, it's going the other way. So both fan bases can't feel good about having to play the other one.
You know what? I hope the teams don't think the way that you're thinking, that it's a foregone conclusion.
Don't. Because they don't.
Because I don't believe it's a foregone conclusion. I think that Clemson and Alabama, neither one have faced a good challenge yet, and it's still a possibility. I mean, the other two teams in the playoff could look at that Michigan team with their defense. If Michigan gets past Ohio State and gets in there, I just think that there's some teams that will give them some competition. It still may end up the way that you're saying, but if one of them, remember the very first playoff, Alabama was going, everything, and what happened? Ohio State upset them. So I don't look at it and think that there's no way anyone can beat these teams, especially as, like you said, they both struggled a little bit. We've seen Clemson get close to losing, and I believe they beat the game. They won the game this year that they have lost the last couple seasons. They got past that, but I still think that there could be some competition out there. I just don't want to believe that the season's done.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, the schedules for both Alabama and Clemson. And the question that I have, is it that the schedules aren't very good, or is it that both of these teams are just excellent football teams?
Oh, they're great football teams. They really are. But again, you know, the out-of-conference schedule, you could probably beef that up a little bit more. But in Clemson's case, they can't help it. I mean, the ACC is just not that.
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire.
It's not that good.
Yeah.
And the SEC, at least in the SEC West side, is still pretty good. So, I mean, Alabama will face more competition than Clemson will.
Well, the thing that I'm going to be interested as we get into the show, of course, Northwestern punched their ticket to the Big Ten championship by beating a very good Iowa team over the weekend. So now the Fighting Pat Fitzgeralds will be playing for the Big Ten championship. And now the Big Ten on the other side is going to be settled between Michigan and Ohio State. Now, if Michigan beats Ohio State and goes to the Big Ten championship, I don't think they beat Northwestern. Look, Northwestern had them beat earlier in the year, was up 17-0, and Michigan rallied and kicked a field goal to beat them by 3. So right away, Northwestern feels like they let one slip away, and it's very difficult to beat a team twice. Now, I feel like if Ohio State wins, then Northwestern's got a problem, because I just don't think Northwestern, from a roster standpoint and from a confidence standpoint, can match up with the Buckeyes. Although, you know, I'm not necessarily sold on Ohio State since Nick Bosa decided to retire and focus on the draft. Now, that has affected the Buckeyes.
It's we talked about this before on the air. Nick Bosa, I mean, he does not make the defense as bad as it is, because the defense for Ohio State is not good right now. But he was an emotional leader. And I think when you take an emotional leader away from a team that is not as good as they have been in the past, at least on the defensive side, then you lose that emotional edge. That guy who gets you rah-rah, gets you going, and gets you to play a little bit above yourself is not there anymore. And I'm not sure that Ohio State can beat Michigan. And, man, that hurts. That hurts just saying that, because I am concerned about the fact that the defense is just not playing well. And if it becomes a shootout, Ohio State's got a shot, but I don't know.
Where's that game being played at?
It's in Ohio. I mean, it's in the horseshoe. That is an advantage, true. But, I mean, Harbaugh has been able to beat some teams he hasn't beat in the past this year. They're on a roll, and Ohio State has struggled.
Well, when I look at Clemson, there's 3 games left on their schedule. They play Duke coming up. Then they finish, of course, with South Carolina, and then they have the ACC championship. They win 2 out of those 3. They're in the playoff. They punch their ticket.
They're not going to lose any of their games.
Well, I agree with that. They should finish undefeated. But if they win 2 out of the next 3, they're in. Alabama, same situation. They win 2 out of the next 3 that they're in. Here's the kicker about the playoff, and we can talk about this more as the show goes on. It's Notre Dame, because Notre Dame does not play play a conference championship game. And Notre Dame has Syracuse this weekend at home, who is ranked 13th in the country, and then they finish up on the road. If Notre Dame finishes with a split, they're in the playoff. They're going to take up that third spot because the committee is not going to leave out a 10-1 Irish team. Not going to happen. So all Notre Dame has to do is split between Syracuse and USC, and that's more than probable because Southern Cal is a dumpster fire. They just got beat. They're not very good this year. Todd Helton is on his way out. So all the Irish have to do is win one out of the next two ball games, and they solidify themselves as the third team. The question that I'm going to pose is, what do you do with the fourth? Because now that it opens up that fourth spot. Say we have this scenario. Say we have Michigan does what Lonzo is afraid of. Beats Ohio State. Plays at the Big Ten Championship. Gets beat by Northwestern. In my estimation, that eliminates the Big Ten from the playoff.
It does. It absolutely does.
Because now you've got a 9-1 Washington State team that is probably going to win the Pac-12. Now you've got an Oklahoma team that is 9-1. There's a West Virginia team that is 8-1. So now that fourth spot is a battle between the champion of the Pac-12 and the champion of the Big 12. Now, which way are you going to go? Because Alabama's going to take one of the spots. Clemson's going to take the other one. Notre Dame's going to take the other one. I mean, you feel fairly confident that as of today, three of the four playoff spots are spoken for. So then what do you do? I mean, everybody's acting like there's this big controversy and that, you know, we're going to have Armageddon. And look, we might have that because Alabama has an issue with Tua Tagovailoa being injured. He's got a legitimate MCL tear. So then he's got to face an Auburn team with an outstanding defense at the end of the year, which Alabama should beat, but they're not going to beat him without Tua. Jalen Hurts has a bum leg. So then Alabama has to turn around and face Auburn at the end of the year and then play Georgia in the SEC championship. And as good as Alabama is, they can't beat those two teams without Tua. Cannot happen. Because who's going to move the offense? You want to rely on an injured Jalen Hurts? You know, there's been a lot of discussion about whether Tua even plays this week. I wouldn't play him. Why would you do that? Alabama could just roll the ball out there and beat. I don't even know who the heck they're beating. They're playing. It's some 1AA team, I think. But, I mean, why would you risk a national championship over 1 week? And I understand what Saban's going to say. Well, if he's healthy, he can play. Well, your roster is better than the opponent you're going to face this week. What you have to prepare for is Auburn and Georgia. Because if you lose to Auburn and then turn around and lose to Georgia because Tua is injured, you have a problem. Let's go to the phone lines and get Delvin in. Delvin, welcome to the huddle.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Awesome.
Good to hear your voice again, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you, Delvin. Good to be here.
Yeah. I know you're talking about – I want to talk about the game this weekend, man. I was in the Carolina game. It was 31-14. I said, I got a store right there. Excuse me. I said, I got a store. I'll be back. By the time I get back, it was 31-28, and Florida was going to school. I'm like, what happened? I didn't go to the store. You know what I mean? All they did was run the ball. It seemed like the running – it seemed like South Carolina can't start running. I know they got hurt players, but Florida couldn't throw the ball off of, you know what, and they just ran the ball down on South Carolina. I couldn't believe they came back to using the running game.
Thank you, Delvin, for the phone call. Yeah, we're going to talk about South Carolina in the next segment. Gamecock fans are jumping off bridges because of the debacle that was the Florida game. And I'm going to pose this question. Who had the worser weekend, South Carolina fans or Bobby Petrino? This is The Huddle at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into The Huddle on this Monday, November the 12th, 2018.
I understand. It was a dance party going in here.
I'm
Josh was
rusty.
Getting it. I had to remind him that he had to talk.
I'm a little rusty, but that's all right. We'll kick the rust off. Welcome into the huddle. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Greg McKinney along with Lonzo. Good to be back with you talking sports here at ESPN Upstate. I'll be with you today and tomorrow. If you want to join the conversation, text 71307 to the Health Dare text line. Be sure to put in ESPN with your text so that we can identify who you are, and we will get you right up. El Cid gets in with us and says, Georgia over Bama, go Dogs. Well, that could happen depending on the injury situation with Tua and how that is managed. One thing is for certain, though, Saban's defense is still as nasty as ever, and that gives that offense a few more at-bats. And when you do that with players like Judy and all of those guys back there, Bugs, this wide receiver core for Alabama doesn't get enough. I think they're underrated. They don't get a lot of pub because when people think of Alabama, you know, they kind of think of ground and pound, and that's not what this offense has become. Mike Locksley has done an outstanding job by developing five wide receivers. They're going empty sets. They're running RPOs. Who would have thought that Nick Saban would have gotten into the RPO game? And that's exactly what Alabama is doing, and they are causing people fits with their RPO concepts. So right now, obviously, Alabama number one in the country, and Clemson is number two. I pose this question. Lonzo's all giddy because the AP basketball, college basketball poll just came out, and lo and behold, Duke's number one. Imagine that after what we've seen. And Spartanburg's own Zion Williamson setting the college world on fire. One of the negatives or one of the criticisms of him at the next level was an outside jump shot. Man, he's knocking down threes left and right. And that young man, if he can knock down those 20, 21 footers, watch out. Watch out. And the way they just totally dismantled Kentucky the other day was an eye-opener to the rest of college basketball.
They are making me watch college basketball.
They are a fun group. Yeah. When you have a team, you know who they remind me of? Everybody wants to say the Fab Five, right, because of their youth. That's not who they are. To me, they remind me, in my estimation, of the greatest college basketball team that ever played, and that was the 1990-1991 UNLV Running Rebels with Larry Johnson and Augman and Hunt. That's who this Duke team reminds me of. Zion Williamson is Larry Johnson with an outside jumper and a 45-inch vertical. This team, they get up and down the court. They're throwing alley-oop passes. To me, that's who they are. They're not the Fab Five. They're the early 90s running Rebels that went undefeated. I think they had one loss and waxed Duke for the national championship. I mean, that's who they remind me of. But we'll discuss that later. I posed the question going into break, who had the worst weekend, South Carolina fans or Bobby Petrino? Texer gets in with us. Louisville won the weekend. Bye-bye, Bobby. Yeah, imagine doing your show and figuring out you got fired. It comes across. Now, it's on tape delay, so it wasn't like he was in the middle of it and he found out during his show that he was canned. But I asked, who had the worst weekend?
See, that would be messed up. You're doing your call-in show and some guy calls
and it scrolls across and goes, Coach, you just got canned.
Oh, that would be messed up. That's how you find stuff out nowadays, by the way. It's email, it's text, it's Twitter.
Twitter?
Yeah.
Twitter is where you get hired, fired, and receive jobs. You want to join the discussion, jump in the Health Dare text line to 71307 or hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Or holler at Alexa. Say, Alexa, play ESPN Upstate, and we will come across Alexa.
See, every time you say Alexa, if someone is listening in a room where there is an Alexa,
that's right,
Alexa
she comes
keeps
on.
Popping on. Yeah.
And somewhere some significant other is going, would he shut up and stop turning that on? We're trying to listen to Christmas music. The South Carolina Gamecocks, oh my goodness, they're jumping off bridges after that 35-31 debacle against Florida. And right now, everybody is trying to fire Will Muschamp. What was it? Last week, he took heat for not talking to or talking to his kids about voting or whatever that junk was, which I thought was complete garbage and should have never become an issue. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a legitimate issue. The Gamecocks are 5-4, and who would have known that they've got to beat Chattanooga to become bowl eligible?
See, here's the problem. Last I checked, Muschamp's a defensive coach, right? Am I wrong about that? He's a defensive coach. Their defense is horrible. They play like one quarter in an entire game. They cannot play an entire game of defense. They had that game won.
The problem, though, Lonzo, is the perception of them coming in that this was a 9-10-win team. And quite honestly, Jake Bentley has been average at best.
I don't blame him entirely. I blame McClendon because the offense is horrible.
Well, there's something to that. They only had 25 yards of total offense in the third quarter.
I've been yelling for weeks, where's the screen game? When you got all this pressure coming in, no, I've like seen one screen in a couple weeks. I mean, I'm sorry. That's what you do when you have defenses coming in on you. You take advantage of that. You throw a screen. They don't have a screen game. And they've got running backs that could catch the ball. I don't get it.
Well, here's the telltale stat for me. Deebo Samuel only touched the ball four times. Four times. Now, he had 120 yards receiving in the four receptions that he had. But you've got to get that guy more touches. And right now, South Carolina is sitting there at 5-4 when most people thought, hey, a bad year is going to be 9-3, at the worst, 8-4. And quite honestly, in the bigger games, and this is why I think, first of all, I do not agree with the fact that let's firebomb Muschamp, get him out of there. Look, it's year three. He's still rebuilding this roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This defensive line is not where it's going to be a year, 2 years from now. This defense is going to be better. They're going to get older. They're going to have another year in the weight room. They're starting a lot of freshmen along that defensive line. First-year guys in the secondary. They've had some injuries. Now, that doesn't take for account that you get manhandled and run over 360 yards by Florida. You're up 31-14 late in the third quarter. You got to figure out a way to win that ball game. You just do. Now, do I blame Coach Muschamp for that? No. I do not. You cannot, at this point in his career, you cannot defend the fact that Jake Bentley has underperformed. Somebody call me. When is the last time that this kid won a big ball game? Texas A&M? No show. Kentucky was a complete catastrophe.
So you're saying you put Skarnecchia in?
Yes, I would. Can he do any worse?
Yeah, he probably could do
I don't
worse.
I mean, a loss is a loss. You're five and four.
You're right.
He can't do any worse.
He could look worse while losing.
Well, does it matter? I mean, that's the thing that and look, South Carolina fans, you got help on the way. Helinski, the moment Helinski gets there in January, the quarterback situation's taken care of. Because Bentley, Jake's not going to beat out Helinski. Forget it. Forget it. Not going to happen. Now you're going to have to rebuild the offensive line. You're going to have some guys. Zach Bailey's going to be a first-round pick. You've got elite running backs that are coming in. You've got some that are going to return. A.J. Turner was spectacular. Had 12 carries for 81 yards in that ball game. Bryan Edwards, where was he at later in that game? That's my question. But Deebo Samuel, if there's a criticism, is you've got to get creative to get him the ball when your offense is struggling, whether it's a reverse, whether it's a halfback pass. He is your best offensive weapon. And you can't go through a third quarter and only have 25 yards. Because everybody expected Carolina to give up some runs to Florida. Coach Muschamp talked about it in his weekly press conference. That was the issue going into the game because Florida has enormous backs. I mean, those guys are 5'10", 5'11", 230, 235 pounds. But you've also got to get a pass rush, and that's coming. You change that with recruiting. On top of the fact, Gamecock basketball lost to Stony Brook. Somebody explain that to me. I don't know. So I would say South Carolina had a much worse weekend than Louisville and Bobby Petrino. This is the Huddle at ESPN Upstate. Welcome into the Huddle on this Monday, November the 12th, 2018 edition of the Huddle. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for Greg McKinney. I guess Greg, he didn't drown in this deluge we've got out there, has he?
No, he's out there swimming in it.
He probably is. Is he a member of the Polar Bear Club? It's cold and he'll jump in the ice.
When you look at Greg McKinney, you think Polar Bear Club.
Possibly.
I mean, he should be the picture on the, you know, on all their headers and stuff. That's definitely him.
Oh, we love GMAC. You want to join the discussion, join the text line, Health Dare text line, text 71307. Be sure to type in ESPN or hit us up on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Well, Lonzo scolded me by not saying her name because it's turning on all the Alexas in the Upstate.
Oh, you should do it now more. I mean, so for the fun of it.
You need to say, Alexa, play ESPN Upstate. Now everybody has it that's listening in. So we discussed a little bit of South Carolina. And look, Gamecock fans just need to relax. I understand this season is not what you wanted it to be or what you anticipated it, that it could be. But Coach Muschamp and his staff are doing a outstanding job. Recruiting is going exceptionally well. You've got to get better players, which is on the way. You've got to get better defensive help, and you've got to build depth. I mean, when you look at teams in the top 10 like Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, their first teams aren't just good, but there's not that much of a drop-off with their second team, and that's what the Gamecocks have to do. They've got to solidify their starters and then bring in quality backups that they can develop that become starters, and that's how you become a legitimate program. And the Gamecocks are still fighting that. Now, they're going to make a bowl game and probably go to the Poulin Weed Whacker Bowl or whatever that bowl game is in Shreveport, and that's okay. It's better than not going to one, and it's better than where you were 2.5 years ago losing to the Citadel. And this team is vastly better than that one, but it's still a process, and fans need to keep giving Coach Muschamp, because this staff is an outstanding staff. They're outstanding recruiters. They're outstanding coaches, and they're going to get you where you want to be. The problem is you play at a very tough division where right now Georgia is the class of the SEC East. Florida's getting better under Dan Mullen. I mean, look at the way Philippe Franks – I mean, he's still not a good quarterback, but he's better than what he was last year. And that's coaching. That's coaching. You know, you got to feel that somewhere Kurt Roper's going, hey, it wasn't all me. Wasn't all me. Tried to tell you guys, wasn't all me. Where's he at? I think he's at Colorado State or Alaska. He's somewhere out in the tundra somewhere. But things are going to get better. You're losing to good teams. And recruiting will fix a lot of that, especially with the Helinski kid coming in this January. Over the weekend, we saw a lot of movement. Notre Dame just throttled Florida State. Who would have ever thought Florida State would be as bad as they are to where they can't even – they're not even competitive. They're not even competitive. Now, Notre Dame is a very good football team, but you would think that just the name Florida State – you know, I did kind of laugh at the beginning of the year when people were talking about who would be the toughest test for Clemson when we looked at the schedule back in the summer, and I laughed at Florida State because, look, they went 6-6. Jimbo's definitely waving, I'm glad I'm out of that mess, and Willie Taggart has inherited an absolute dumpster fire in Tallahassee. And it's a shame because Florida State can do better than what they are. And I think a lot of it is bringing home. They have got to upbuild. They've got to rebuild their facilities to get it functional if they want to join back with the ranks, because Alabama's not going anywhere. Clemson is not going anywhere. Michigan seems to be turning the corner finally. Ohio State's not going anywhere. Oklahoma's not going anywhere. So, you know, the administration at Florida State has to decide on, do they just want to be a middle-of-the-road ACC team, or do they want to become elite again? Because in this day of college football, you are not going to be elite with subpar facilities. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. It's too competitive. You got Florida. They're upgrading their facilities. Miami. Boy, what a dumpster fire that year has been. A lot of people thought Miami was going to make the playoff this year. But Coach Rick is still recruiting very well. But no question, a lot of work for Willie Taggart and his staff. The question now is, how long is he going to last? I mean, there's people in Tallahassee that want him fired now. The guy just got there.
Yeah, he just got there. And the cupboard wasn't full.
No.
It's going to take a while.
I mean, the offensive line is a sieve.
There's a reason why Jimbo said, okay, I'm going to go over here.
You know, and I've got a theory on that, Lonzo. I think Jimbo pulled a Steve Spurrier. I think he tried to leverage the Florida State administration after they won the national title and Jameis Winston won the Heisman. And I think he tried to leverage the administration to get them to build better facilities. And the administration said, no. And when they told him no, but you got to look at the administration standpoint. Why would you? You won the national title without all of those facilities. You had a Heisman Trophy winner without those facilities. So the administration's going, we don't need it. So then I firmly believe Jimbo went, okay, that's what you want. I think then he knew he was out. And he stopped recruiting. He absolutely stopped recruiting. Because I can tell you, look at what Texas A&M is doing from a recruiting standpoint under Jimbo now, because he's actually working. He's actually out there getting in the airplane, going to see kids, leveraging who Texas A&M, and I believe Texas A&M's ranked in the top eight in all the national recruiting services. Because he feels like that they put $300 million into their program in like 24 hours, which is incredible. Sturge has mentioned this on his show, that they said they needed a capital campaign of $250 million. It literally took them 24 hours to raise the money. And they did it. So now Jimbo says, A&M's giving me their best. I'm going to give them my best. And they're in the top eight of the recruiting. And Florida State now is playing second fiddle and just trying to figure out if they're going to become the Wake Forest of the ACC. This is... Welcome back in on this November the 12th, 2018 edition of The Huddle. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Greg McKinney along with Lonzo. Hope you are doing well after this Veterans Day weekend. You know, I love seeing all the posts on social media about our veterans and the sacrifices that not only they make, but their families. And I think that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. As several members of my family, both of my grandparents were World War II veterans, plus one of my great-grandparents' grandfathers was in World War I. I trained horses for the cavalry, for the Army. So thank a veteran today. Give him a hug around the neck. There's not many of the World War II guys left. Both of my grandparents' grandfathers have since gone on to the next world, the oldest one being 92, he died several years ago. I hear we're losing them at almost 1,000 a day. So spend all the amount of time you can with them and tell them you love them. But we definitely love them here and their families and the sacrifices they all make to keep us free and to keep us safe. As you look around the NFL, Lonzo was busting my chops a little bit because my Dallas Cowboys had an improbable, really they didn't win the game. They just the clock ran out.
Oh, come on. They looked pretty good last night.
Game was infuriating. That game solidified the fact that Jason Garrett needs to get canned now.
Well, that should have happened a couple years ago, but, you know.
Look, Zeke Elliott had 25 carries for 130-something yards. He caught the ball out of the backfield. He was an absolute terror. But look, the NFC East is a horrendous division that, in my estimation, the Washington Redskins are probably going to win. To me, they're the best team. I mean, Philly is falling into the post-Super Bowl funk that most teams do. I mean, Carson Wentz was spectacular. I mean, the guy did everything he could. He threw for 360 yards. Ertz was undefendable. What do you have, like 14 catches for 100 and some odd yards, several touchdowns, and they had the ball at the 6-yard line and would have scored. I mean, Doug Peterson, I'm sure, in Philly is getting butchered on not throwing the ball into the end zone with no timeouts and 13 seconds left. You want to join the discussion, jump in the Health Dare text line, text 71307 to ESPN, or give us a call in the call-in line, 844-477-3776. A competitive division is the NFC North. I mean, there is legitimate drama between Green Bay and Chicago. And look, Chicago is doing outstanding under Matt Nagy is flat out getting it done with Mitch Trubisky in his second year. But not only that, here's a stat that blows me away, and it bodes well for Chicago, although I'm not buying the Kool-Aid yet with the Bears, is they are second in both offense and defense, in total offense and defense in the NFL. The last four teams, starting with the 85 Bears that were second in the NFL in both offense and defense, went on to win the Super Bowl. And there's no question the NFC has some enormous drama going on between, and look, you can never count out Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers.
I think they're done this season. I mean,
Green Bay, no chance.
I know you want to believe
fool's
that.
Gold. Like everybody saying Tom Brady, New England's done. You go down that road at your own risk.
Tom Brady.
You go down that road at your own risk. Your own risk. Especially come playoff time, and there's old Aaron Rodgers slinging the ball around, beating you with 30 seconds left, and there's Tom Brady. And look, everybody, a lot of New England fans are jumping off bridges, and they don't need to be. They didn't have Gronk. And they played a younger, hungrier team in the Titans with Mike Vrabel, who understands the Belichick system. And New England did not play well. At all. But the last time I checked, they're still winning the East. Nobody's going to challenge them in the East. The question is, can they go on the road and beat Kansas City?
Kansas City could have won that game if Mahomes wasn't nervous in that first quarter. So it's going to be interesting if it comes down to that.
Well, this is not going to be the year for Andy Reid to fail come playoff time.
See, I want to believe, but the defense really has some big holes.
It doesn't, Matt Lonzo. You're 9-1. You're going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Andy Reid can't finish. More than likely, Kansas City is going to finish 14-2, 13-3, somewhere along those lines. They're going to have the number one overall seed. They're going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and if they get yoked, then sooner or later, what's the excuse? What's the excuse? You got a record-setting quarterback that you jettisoned a 4,500-yard thrower last year, and rightfully so. Mahomes is probably going to win the MVP. So Kansas City, you better get to the Super Bowl, or Andy Reid, you may be out of a job. This is the Huddle at ESPN Upstate.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.